The so-called sanctuary cities in the U.S. have stood up to President Trump's hardline immigrant orders in the first weeks of his presidency. Donald Trump signed an executive order threatening to withhold federal funds from sanctuary cities, including Miami, New York, San Francisco, and others. These cities offer certain protections for undocumented immigrants. And although the order's legal standing is unclear, several cities have stopped offering sanctuary, while officials in other cities have said they will defy the order. This isn't the first time sanctuary for undocumented immigrants has been an issue. Around 30 years ago, churches across the border harbored immigrants fleeing violence in El Salvador and Guatemala. Scott Michaels is a producer for Retro Report and took a look back at the beginning of the sanctuary movement.
The movement started in the 1980s when El Salvador and Guatemala were in the middle of really brutal civil wars, and hundreds of thousands of refugees started coming to the United States. And a Presbyterian pastor in Tucson started coming across some of these people and trying to help them apply for asylum.
And that would be the Reverend John Fife, minister in Tucson. Here he is speaking from the 1980s in your report.
They told me about death squads. They told me about people who had been kidnapped and tortured. These were middle-class folks who were fleeing for their lives.
Now, what did Fife do to help them that put him in confrontation with the government?
Well, initially, he was trying to work within the legal system and help them get asylum. And he quickly found that most of these people were being denied asylum. So what he and a small group of other people did was to start what is essentially a modern-day underground railroad. And they started smuggling people into the country and hiding them out in churches.
I assumed it was illegal, but I could not claim to be a Christian and not be involved in trying to protect refugees' lives.
How hard did the government come down on this movement, given that they weren't cities like we're seeing today? They're, you know, much smaller entities.
I think initially the government was a little bit hesitant to take on churches and priests and nuns. But after a while, they launched a pretty extensive undercover investigation to try to infiltrate the movement. And they eventually convicted 8 people who were involved in the movement.
And among the people who was involved in the investigation and prosecution was A. Melvin McDonald, former U.S. attorney.
Yeah, that's right. He was the U.S. attorney in Phoenix at the time, and he was one of the people who oversaw the investigation.
We're not going to let any group or organization, even if you're people on the cloth, go forward and defy the laws of the country. We're just not going to do it.
Now, this became an issue in the United States, certainly as a response to the refugees, but also as a response to U.S. foreign policy. At the time, the controversy over support for the regime in El Salvador, this was a political issue that was very deeply dividing the country at the time.
Yeah, I mean, this was the height of the Cold War, and the Reagan administration was supporting the military governments in Guatemala and El Salvador. And those governments were later found to be complicit in a lot of the atrocities that drove people to the United States.
But there's certainly plenty of evidence that the people in Guatemala and El Salvador understood that there was a safe place that they could get to if they could make it.
Yeah, I think word eventually spread as people started coming from Central America through Mexico into the United States.
We had an opportunity to stay here because of people that cared enough. Because of people that wanted us to live.
That's Patty Barceló. She was someone who was born and raised in Guatemala and fled the country after her father was kidnapped and tortured. And John Fife and his organization helped bring the family across the U.S.-Mexico border and helped them get a lawyer and eventually get asylum in the United States.
Humanitarian issues and politics collided in the original sanctuary movement. How would you say it's different today?
Well, I think what we've seen is that the idea of sanctuary is a lot broader, and in a lot of ways it's more controversial. Because back in the 80s, we were talking about refugees fleeing for their lives in many instances. Now we're talking about a much, much bigger group of undocumented immigrants who are already living here, and the issue is whether or not they should be deported or be able to stay in the country.
Scott Michaels is a producer for Retro Report. Scott, thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.